All right, Alexander, let's talk about what is going on in China with the protests. And that is getting a ton of coverage. And let's talk about the local elections in Taiwan, which is not getting so much coverage, at least in the collective West. So one story is getting a ton of coverage. The local elections in Taiwan, they're not getting much coverage at all. But the ruling party of President Tsai Ing-wen, they got demolished. I mean, demolished. And this was very much, it seems to me, this was very much. Actually, I think the president even said it was a referendum on her governing and a referendum on Taiwan and its alignment and how it approaches China and how it deals with the collective West in the United States. And I think the Taiwanese people have spoken. And you wrote me a message earlier today as you were highlighting some of these stories. And I believe you said that this very much shows that the people of Taiwan do not want to see that island become the next Ukraine.
That's
It's very
exactly right.
interesting, real quick. It's very interesting how one of the things that China may have I'll say won, even though that's probably not the correct word, maybe gained. One of the things that China may have gained in its diplomatic encounters with Russia with regards to the conflict in Ukraine is that China may have they may not have realized this, but everything that's happened in Ukraine may have benefited mainland China as to how the Taiwanese population is now not so gung-ho with confronting China directly. Do you know what I mean? Ch China may have gotten a lot more out of everything going on in Ukraine than they even realize at or that they may have realized at the moment.
I think that's entirely correct, and I think that's come as a surprise. To be honest, I think these elections have come as a surprise to everybody, perhaps outside Taiwan itself. I mean, I don't know what the mood is like in Taiwan. No doubt there's domestic issues at play. No doubt Taiwan is also affected by the worldwide economic problems that we all know, the inflation, the global inflation, and all of the rest. But I think it's inconceivable that the elections that have just taken place, which, to be very clear, were conclusively won by the Kuomintang. This is the former ruling party of Taiwan from the 1950s, but one which has been losing power over the last couple of decades to the current ruling party, the DPP. The Kuomintang thinks of itself as a Chinese party. It considers Taiwan to be the Republic of China, and that was its original position. It was where it retreated to after it lost the Chinese Civil War in the 1940s, and it still is absolutely fully committed to one China. So the Kuomintang won in all the big cities across the north. It did extremely well in these elections, and I think it's inconceivable that people in Taiwan, when they voted, weren't thinking about a lot of the events that have happened over the last couple of years, especially the last year. I mean, Nancy Pelosi's visit, for example, the Chinese military maneuvers, the air flights around Taiwan, the maneuvers after Nancy Pelosi's visit, when Taiwan was basically briefly encircled by the Chinese military and basically placed under a kind of blockade. The fact that the current government of Tsai Ing-wen has been trying to import more weapons than the United States. The way in which the United States has been quietly, surreptitiously supporting the DPP, the ruling party's drive towards independence. I cannot believe, whatever the domestic factors, that the greater overall crisis over Taiwan was not at the top of people's minds when they voted. And of course, they will have seen what happened in Ukraine. They will have seen how Ukraine got led up the garden path. I think that was always a primrose path. You know, that famous phrase that Professor Mearsheimer came up with, by the United States, who found itself in a conflict with Russia that has been, you know, massively damaged and destroyed. And it is completely unsurprising the Taiwanese people, perhaps even many people who feel, you know, some misgivings towards the Chinese government, have said, hold on, we don't want to go down that route. We want to see in power a government which isn't going to perhaps sell out to China, but which nonetheless wants to maintain an accommodation with China. And we don't want to be another place where the neocons in Washington play their games. So I think that is what happened. I cannot believe that there is any other real explanation for this election result, which, as you absolutely rightly say, is a landslide. And Tsai Ing-wen, who of course has been at the forefront of pro-independence agitation in Taiwan, actually said a couple of days before the elections that it was a referendum on her policies and on herself and on her policy towards China. And the Taiwanese people have said, no, we are voting against you over precisely this thing that you've been saying. And Tsai Ing-wen has, as a result, had to resign from her post as leader of the DPP, though, of course, she remains Taiwan's president. So I think this is clearly exactly what you said, that the Ukraine conflict has concentrated minds amongst the Taiwanese electorate, and it's produced this outcome. But I think it's also a sign that the people in Taiwan really don't want to be led into a conflict, either by Tsai Ing-wen and the leadership of the DPP or by the neocons in the United States. I think this was clearly a vote for peace.
But all the focus now is on the protests in China. Not many collective West outlets are really focusing in on these elections.
Absolutely. Now, I was looking at the British media this morning. I mean, The Guardian has finally got round to writing a piece about the elections in Taiwan. And I gather there's been some more in places like The Independent. But they're all tucked away. Big stories about protests in China, a massive, you know, protest wave across China. Protests happen in China actually quite regularly. This is not unusual. Now, the Chinese authorities are very, very skilled at maintaining control, and they know very well how to allow some protests to take place. They then clamp down on them, but not after, you know, some steam has been released, if you like. Now, no article that I have read has actually given us exact figures for how many people are protesting. My overwhelming impression is that these protests were relatively small, that they are isolated in a few big places, in Shanghai, in Beijing, whatever. They're related to an event in Urumqi, in Xinjiang province, which has obviously, you know, caused some excited interest among some people in China. But I don't get the sense that a critical mass of the Chinese population is joining them. And I don't get a sense that they are any sort of serious challenge to the authority of the Chinese government or of Xi Jinping himself. I think that people are delusional if they believe that. What I think they may do, and I think this is important actually, is that they may reinforce a feeling that does exist, I am sure, within some levels of the Chinese government, that the present lockdown policy is now not just mistaken, but seriously counterproductive, that it's creating dissatisfaction in many places in China, that it's unsustainable, that it is, in fact, actually irrational. And there's already been some moves by the Chinese authorities to try tentatively to relax it without going through the massive embarrassment of admitting that it has failed. And I think that's going to accelerate. I think these protests will probably drive that process faster.
Yeah, because it is a failed policy. I mean,
absolutely.
At this moment in time, it's a policy.
It is a failed policy, exactly.
They just don't know how to walk away from it.
You're absolutely correct. I mean, what happened was in 2020, I mean, you know, they imposed these draconian lockdowns and they were able to brag, well, you see, we were incredibly successful. Look at the Americans, they made a mess of it. Look at the Europeans, they made a mess of it. But we have succeeded. We've managed to bring this thing, the COVID in China, under complete control. Our mortality rate is very low. We are protecting our people and all of that. And that was in 2020. And now we move on a couple of years. And what we find is that China is unique now. It's alone in trying to keep to this policy. And everywhere else, to a greater or lesser degree, people have come to accept the reality that the coup is here to stay. And China cannot act as an island which is single-handedly keeping the coup at bay in that way. It is impossible. They can't build a great wall around themselves in that fashion. I mean, that's impossible nowadays. So what they're doing, what they've got themselves trapped into, is a situation where every time there's an outbreak somewhere, and there's a big outbreak at the moment, because inevitably they're going to be big outbreaks, because China obviously has to have some contact with the outside world. Whenever that happens, they have to go back into lockdowns. People are getting impatient. They're becoming exasperated. They can see this is failing. It's a plan for keeping China in a state of lockdown, or places in China in a state of lockdown indefinitely, because there's no other possible way out of this if you're going to persist with this policy. And they're saying this is irrational. This isn't working. It's creating too much disruption to people's lives. It's hurting the economy as well. And you're starting to see pressure, grassroots pressure across China to force the policy to be changed. And I think the Chinese government, which is very, very, shall we say, sensitive to issues of its own authority, and which is clearly, like most governments, keen to continue and perpetuate itself, is going to take that into account, and it's going to moderate its policy even more.
Right. Is the election, these local elections in Taiwan, and what they signify, this type of referendum against a conflict with China, has this signaled the end of the speculation, the belief that after Ukraine, Taiwan is next?
No, I'm afraid not. I think that any hope in that regard would be very, very premature indeed. I'm going to say straight away, the neocons in Washington are going to see these local elections as a defeat. I mean, from their point of view, the party they support, the DPP, the leader that they support, Tsai Ing-wen, have done badly in these elections. And the invariable response of the neocons to any kind of setback is not to rethink and retreat and adjust their policies, it's to double down and increase the pressure. So I think, on the contrary, and I know this is the real danger, what we're probably going to see over the next couple of months, years, there's 2 years now before there are presidential elections in Taiwan. I think there's the real risk that we're going to see attempts to exacerbate tensions even further. It is important that these elections have happened, and it does give one a sense of what people in Taiwan really think. But consider that in Ukraine, Zelensky won on a peace platform. He was a repudiation of Poroshenko's policy, the neocon policy of confrontation with Russia. He spoke about, you know, making the Minsk agreement work, forging a real peace with Russia. And what did that do? It caused all the forces that were wanting confrontation with Russia to redouble their efforts. And it brought about the current war. And I'm afraid that it's not impossible that events could repeat themselves in Taiwan.
Yeah, I like that that analogy. I didn't think about that. Zelensky won 70% of the vote, 70% plus in Ukraine, and he campaigned 100% on Minsk and the peace with Russia. 100%. That was why he won. It was a referendum in Ukraine at the time. That election was a referendum by the Ukrainian people that they want Minsk to work and they want peace with Russia. And look where we ended up. So this, the parallels are there, yeah.
Absolutely.
100% there.
Absolutely. But that doesn't alter the fact, as I said, that we've seen now what people in Taiwan really think. And I think, you know, we shouldn't walk away from that. I think we should remember that if there is going to be a conflict, it will be against the wishes of the Taiwanese people.
All right, we'll leave it there. TheDuran.locals.com, and go to the Duran shop, 10% off. Use the code GOODDAY. And we are also on Rockfin, by the way, as well. Take care.